This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Sean Pritchard, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So, want to talk about the recent announcement that UCAN has been working on an agreement with St. Joseph's Church for use of their gym as a warming center this winter. How's that process going?
Well, it's moving along very well. We're just in initial stages of getting this going. We did this 2 years ago. Last year, we actually funded another group to do this, but I'm kind of excited to get into this. This is one of the programs or areas that my staff actually let me touch. So it's kind of a fun thing to do and very meaningful, I feel.
How did it come together to look at doing it at St. Joseph's Gym?
Well, we put just a general request out there for space, and Elaine Rodriguez, the founder of a women's Latinx group here in Roseburg, got us in touch with the church. And from there, Nikki Messenger and I met with Father Garcia and some of the staff there, and they definitely felt like it was in their mission also to serve these folks and get them out of the cold.
So do you have other organizations that are going to be involved with this as well?
We will. We'll pull in other partners. We've partnered with ADAPT and, of course, the city before. So we'll be doing that along with pulling in volunteers from throughout the community.
Now, this location has obviously got some advantages to it.
Well, it sure does. As far as I know, this will be the biggest facility we've ever been able to bring people in, and it's a gymnasium at St. Joe's, and I know the seating capacity there is close to 300 people. I'm not sure what it will be with cots and that type of a situation, but we'll be pulling in the fire marshal to make a determination on that.
And you've got a kitchen there as well, right?
Yeah, that does make it a lot easier to you know, with logistics, having the kitchen there.
Any idea how... Well, let me back up. How are you going to be funding all of this for the Warming Center?
So this is funded through OHCS, Oregon Housing and Community Services. And initially, we didn't think we had an award for Roseburger Grants Pass, but we were able to secure funding for this.
And will UCAN then mainly be the ones staffing it?
UCAN will be the operator. There will always be somebody from UCAN at the site, along with security. And yeah.
Well, and you know, winters in Roseburg really vary a lot, and sometimes they sort of sneak up on us. You know, weather shifts, and suddenly people look around and go, gosh, we've got to be ready to do this.
Right.
How quickly do you think you can pivot when you get to that point and open a facility?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, we are sort of a microclimate here, right? Things change fast, but. The process, of course, is to gather up names of those that want to serve and then provide training for a warming center. That's very important. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we can get out past the holidays without an activation date. But we can pull things together pretty quickly. We don't have staff that are necessarily solely dedicated to this purpose, but... there are similar efforts that we put out there, and these folks want to help. And there are a lot in the community that have already contacted me. And if you're one of those, I will get back to you as soon as I can. But this is just a good, feel-good thing for our community to be involved in and make sure we don't have people out there freezing, losing fingers and toes. We don't want that.
What about the volunteer opportunities? What kinds of things could people do on a day, night that the shelter was open?
Well, you know, there are a number of things. There's a fire watch that we do. We walk through every 15 minutes and check things. There's food preparation. There's cleaning opportunities. So we'll find a place for people if they want to help.
And what kind of training is involved?
Well, I believe this year, you know, we're going to make certain that Narcan training is provided, and that'll hopefully be provided through the HIV Alliance here in town. You know, and then also just trauma-informed care training to let people know how to handle situations, along with de-escalation training.
And you can obviously have a very diverse group of people, you know, as folks that are being served at the warming center, warming center on any given night.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I stayed at the warming center 2 years ago, and you know, just provided an opportunity to sit down and talk to these folks. And I was quite surprised about how frank they are about their situation, whether it be through a catastrophic loss of family or addiction, mental illness, or just situational homelessness that comes along with losing a job or having an unusual type of expense, like a medical expense.
Well, and it's not always the situations that we typically think of. I mean, because you talk about, you know, we've talked over the years about this topic, and sometimes people don't have very good family structures, and all it takes is, you know, one person exiting the situation where suddenly you got nowhere to go.
That's right. You know, the biggest, you know, in running the navigation center, interesting that we have found out that the biggest way to get people back into housing is to reunify families. And so oftentimes they've burned bridges, right? And they need a mediator to come in, and UCAN has done some of that work. So you don't hear a lot about reunification of families when it comes to addressing homelessness. You hear a lot about building homes and on, but really I think, you know, we're missing the boat with this. We need to concentrate more dollars toward mediation, family reunification.
And sometimes, especially in situations of addiction, there comes a point there where the bridges really do get burned, and it's awfully hard to restore them because
That's
there's
right.
really not any trust based
right.
on prior experience.
Right, yeah. Often families have been taken advantage of, and they're just at the end of the rope, and folks need to leave. But, you know, just like in many ways, addiction and some of these other things, you know, people do at some point hopefully want help, maybe not in that moment. And that's where you can, you know, we don't judge people. They might not want help that day you're talking to them, but who knows, down the road, we're going to be there.
And when it starts getting colder, you know, I was out, people know I do a lot of long distance walking, and I've been kind of pushing through and doing some of it in spite of some of the weather. And a couple weeks ago, it occurred to me as I was out walking and getting rained on for hours on end that I was doing that voluntarily. I mean, you know, I mean, I had, you know, my rain jacket on and all that, and I was not all that comfortable, but I knew I had a comfortable destination.
That's right.
And you know, I even passed by a couple of camp situations and just thought, you know, I'm out here doing this because I want to get exercise, but you know, if that was, you know, you had nowhere else to go.
It,
and in weather like, you know, the heavy rain,
right.
the cold temperatures, that is not.
I think, yeah, fun. that's a miserable existence. And we want to do everything we can to get people back sheltered and warm and fed, and provide a pathway to stable housing and wraparound services. And even employment, we've been able to get people employed here locally.
In these situations, when folks are outside and exposed to the elements, sometimes, especially if they don't have the best medical situation to begin with, that can lead to, you know, pneumonia, things like that, and on down that
yeah.
road.
It's a societal cost, so I think there's, you know, a cost benefit to bringing people in, definitely, in these conditions.
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. Sean Pritchard from the United Community Action Network, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Sean Pritchard from the United Community Action Network. We're talking about the plan for a warming center at St. Joseph's Church in Roseburg. I know a lot of training, a lot of plans go into this. In terms of actually executing it, when you get there, is there a need for donations, for instance, for food or any other supplies, or do you pretty much have that covered?
Well, I think we have it covered, although, you know, we'll figure that out as we get a little closer to the date. But I would just say if people want to volunteer, they could go to the UCAN website, and or they could email volunteer at UCANCAP, that's UCANCAP.org. And then also, you know, there are folks that maybe this isn't their thing, right? They want to volunteer for. We have a donation button on our main page. And if they want to go that route, or I will also say there are a plethora of other volunteer opportunities that you can. If a warming center isn't a good fit, we do Head Start, WIC, the food bank. So on and on with a lot of programs where people could help.
So as we talk about this issue of homelessness, what do you think the numbers are around Douglas County?
Well, I can tell you statewide over the last 6 years, we've seen a 63% increase in homelessness. Oregon's the fourth highest rate in the country. And unfortunately, we're the first when it comes to unsheltered youth and families. So that's pretty striking. I know in Douglas County over the last year, we've experienced a 53% increase in those unsheltered. So that we're dealing with a crisis here. And it's more than UCAN trying to address it. It's UHA, it's ADAPT, it's Aviva. We're all getting behind this. And thankfully, we have, you know, with Larry Rich and Nikki Messenger, we have a great partner and working here in Roseburg.
How much of this ties in with some of the drug use?
You know, I don't really want to go there because, you know, like I said earlier, we're not in the business of being judgmental about that. I don't have the stats in front of me either. So I really can't speak to that.
You know, it's an interesting, it's been very challenging in communities, you know, all over, big and small, are dealing with the increase in this issue. And it's really had a lot of other impacts. One of the, of course, direct ones is on the folks that are out there for whatever reason, just trying to get by very much day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a lifestyle, I think, that I'd like to be a part of.
Now,
it's a tough existence.
Yeah. And to help with this, of course, the Navigation Center has been evolving. How's that going?
Well, it's going very well. Once we opened up the full capacity, it pretty much just filled up. And excuse me, we have a lot of people there that, like I said prior, who have been able to reunify with families. I think our success rate for those sticking in the program has been about 75%. So while we have a rather small capacity with 45 people, we probably have one of the better percentages in the state in getting people sheltered permanently.
Now, are there further stages to the Navigation Center, more things that are planned for that facility?
Not at the moment, not to my knowledge. I think we're just trying to learn the ropes there and do the best job possible.
And how do you feel like it's working so far?
I think it's going great, and that's because of the staff that we have here at UCAN. Some of them come from this, from a lived experience. Others are administrators by profession, and, you know, just bringing those two groups together, it seems to be a good marriage. And so I'm very proud of those folks at the Navigation Center.
As you work on this effort during the winter, each season kind of poses its own challenges. I mean, if you're living outside, summer is easier in some ways, but there can be issues in the summer as well when it starts really heating up.
Yeah. So at UCAN, we term this a severe weather shelter. And so that could be cooling, that could be warming, and it's also getting out of the smoke during smoke season. So that's where we're really hoping that the church will be a partner all year long for these relief efforts. And they're pretty familiar with disaster training. They're a designated Red Cross evacuation site, I believe. So it's going to be a great partner.
Well, and being right along West Harvard there where they are, it makes it an easy location for people to access or to be taken to as well.
Right. And, you know, interestingly, there's also a segment of the homeless community that live out of their cars. So there's ample parking there for people to come in and get to a safe place.
So there'd be the potential to be there and maybe be getting help food-wise or being able to be inside restroom facilities, things like that, even if you chose to not be actually in the gym.
Well, we hope so. We still need to get through a negotiation with the church, but I believe we're also going to be pulling in a shower trailer for folks to be able to use that. And, warm food and a warm gymnasium. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you've been with UCAN for three years?
Close to 4 years now, right. I came in 1 month before the the coronavirus.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Boy, that's not a transition you want to make voluntarily, but suddenly there you are. But everybody else was kind of dealing with different issues for that as well. How do you feel like UCAN's evolved since you've gotten here?
Well, you know, it's definitely a lot has hinged on the homelessness crisis, but we've also grown other programs. Head Start is now serving families up in Glide, and so that was a big win for us. We have also been able to help people through the Archie Creek fire with meeting some of their unmet needs, and, you know, we'll continue to try to fill voids where they exist in the community, and, you know, people do need to keep in mind we also serve Josephine County, so I try to split my attention to both counties, and we have similar programs down there. In fact, the warming center down in Grants Pass, we had open for 45 days last year, very long stretch of time. And Roseburg's, like I said, a little more of a microclimate, so we didn't have that type of weather pattern last year.
What kind of facility do you have for it down in Grants Pass?
Let's see. So last year we utilized an old DMV building. We were able to lease that. This year we don't have that. So actually I'll be down in Grants Pass tomorrow looking at property.
So this is a lot going on at once.
It sure is. Yeah. Yeah. Something different every day.
And what's your favorite part of what you do?
There's no doubt my favorite part of what I do is reading stories to Head Start kids. I just did that the other day, and that's a lot of fun, especially as your kids, my own kids are older now. It's fun to go back and see the joy and excitement of these little kids. Yeah.
Having some interaction like that, what it's maybe one of the toughest things administrating something as big as you can.
I would just say the sheer volume of grants that come in, keeping track of all of that. I have some very sharp people in my administrative staff that are great at that, but it's been a lot. It's been, you know, during the corona period, there was also doing a lot of rental assistance for folks. So I think we're getting close to $20 million probably in payments we've made directly to landlords to prevent evictions. And so that's been a big lift.
I imagine that you've got to have staff really keeping close attention to timelines on when things are due.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's overlapping guidelines for everything, time frames and requirements. And yeah, it's not an easy business. It's not an easy gig.
How many staff and you can right now?
I think we vary between 250 and 300 at any one time. It's just kind of a matter of what programs we're starting up or shutting down.
And is that pretty similar to the numbers when you came in?
It's much higher than when I came in. I think we were at 160 or 180 when I came in.
So a lot more need is ended up with a lot more need for staff to help make things happen.
Right. Yeah, that's true. We have an energized staff that's willing to help and serve the two counties here. And so the hardest thing to do is say no to an opportunity, right? But it just hinges on capacity right now.
All right, out of time for now. And again, what's the website people can go to if they want to find out about helping?
Well, you can go to ucancap.org. And you'll see either at the top of the page, there's a donation button there, or you can pull down to how can you help drop down menu. and it'll provide an email address to get in touch with us.
All right, John Pritchard from the United Community Action Network, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for what you do for our communities as well.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.